Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Tired of endless walking, not knowing which way to go. I collapsed on a street called mercy. I was found in you. Throwing your arms around me, you held me like I was yours. Like you'd been there the whole time waiting. I was found in you.
You're all I want. You're all I need. Every breath I take is a breath to say I am yours now forever. You were all I want. You were all I need. Every breath I take is a breath to say I am yours now forever.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. As we look into the book of Acts, we're picking it up with a story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and we're picking up in Acts chapter 8, verse number 34. Those of you that have your Bibles and your cup of tea or coffee, sit down and enjoy the wonderful Word of God.
You know, it's a great thing to be able to sit and listen and read and just kind of contemplate these stories of how the early church was formed. So love this book.
The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet, talking about himself or is he talking about someone else?" You remember, Philip, he is told by the Lord to go run alongside this chariot, and then they hear somebody reading from the book of Isaiah, and it happens to be this eunuch who was the treasurer for the Ethiopians, and he says, "I can tell you a little bit about that scripture if you want to know." And the guy says, "Yeah, I want to know." So he calls him inside, and he sits there, and they're talking about the scriptures. And then Philip began with the very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus.
You know, when you talk about Jesus, some people get excited because it is good news. Other people may not get so excited because to them it may not be good news, but that's what it is. When you truly open your heart up and open your life up to God's word, it can be not just good news, but great news.
Well, it has to be good news because most people eventually begin to think about their death.
Yeah.
Because death comes to everyone. Death and taxes.
That's it.
So you're going to pay them both.
But death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets.
So the truth is that everyone is going to face death, and
right.
Recognizing the fact that you're going to be judged according to our sins, and most people recognize that there is a sinfulness about us. No one has lived a perfect life except for this one man who was called Jesus.
Yep.
And he came and took our place and died for us. And the good news is that because of his sacrificial death, we escaped that judgment by our faith in what he has done for us. And it's a simple act of grace that God is able to forgive us because of what Jesus has done.
It's phenomenal, too.
It's amazing news.
It is. That's why it's such good news.
Is that
I know that I can't stand before a holy God, but the God who created the heavens and the earth clothed himself in flesh, lived that sinless life, like you said, and sacrificed himself and paid the penalty for my sin.
And so Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading from this passage of scripture from Isaiah, and it's talking about Jesus actually being a lamb or a sheep that is led to slaughter, who died for us. He took our place. And so he's telling him about this. And as they travel along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Pretty amazing that he must have had some understanding of the whole understanding of baptism, unless Philip preached a little bit about repent and be baptized, unless he mentioned that when he was talking to him about the scriptures, about believing in Jesus, because he talked to him about Jesus. That's what it says, the good news about Jesus. And of course, if you know anything about Jesus, you have to repent and be baptized in his name. And so when you repent and baptize in his name, then you actually receive Jesus into your heart, and he comes in because of your repentance, if it's true repentance.
Yeah.
So he probably talked to him about it, and so I would imagine, because he's talking about Jesus, he sees the water, and he says, "Hey, I want to get that too."
Yeah. You know, it's so cool, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, the New Testament wasn't written while this was happening.
Right.
Philip is talking to the eunuch, so the only quote-unquote Bible that they have is the Old Testament. So you can go back to the Old Testament, and just like Philip did, and find out the parts of it. All of it talks about Jesus in one way or another, and you could. But he did that, and then he was able to talk to him about what had just taken place with Jesus and the life that he lived, and the death, the burial, the resurrection. And so you can point people to Jesus in the Old Testament, bring them through the New Testament, and then if you're standing near water, they may say, "Hey, why don't you let's baptize me, immerse me, because I want to die to this old life and walk a new life, a different life."
Yeah, it's interesting because to me, because obviously he was talking about Jesus. He talked about the road to salvation. Probably he talked about the need for forgiveness of sins. He probably talked about asking Christ to forgive you and to come into your heart. But here, what happens is the eunuch immediately talks about, "Why shouldn't I be baptized?"
Right.
You know, he's talking about something that far beyond just maybe coming to the altar. He's already taken that next step. He's already saying, "Okay, if this is all good, how come I can't be baptized?
Yeah, I want in on it.
I want to get baptized."
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is, a lot of times, times that people put off baptism. And here, this is the first thing he talks about. He doesn't talk about going to an altar. He doesn't talk about repenting. He doesn't talk about those things. Though I'm sure those things must have happened when he was talking about Jesus. But the first thing he says is, okay, let me get baptized too. Yeah. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Because I probably repented. Because I probably asked Jesus into my heart. All these things that Philip was talking to him about. He says, okay, I've done all these things. There's some water.
Yeah.
Let's get baptized.
Let's jump right in. Let's do what John the Baptist was doing, what Jesus did. Jesus modeled it because Jesus was baptized.
And then he says this amazing thing. He says he gave orders to stop the chariot. So, I mean, he's actually putting this into flesh.
Right.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
Stop the chariot. And both Philip and eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
What a great moment right there. Philip must have been thinking, you know, the angel tells him to go down to this road. Then he tells him to run up beside the chariot, you know, and then he's listening. And then he's baptizing a guy within a matter of who knows how long. It didn't seem like it took too long.
Sure.
And then he's having a baptismal service.
Every preacher loves to have those kind of stories, don't they?
I mean,
that's just 1, 2, 3, and here we go. Boom. And it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, that's an amazing thing. Yeah. Now, we call this, he was translated to a different area. Now, I don't understand that. I would imagine that would be pretty amazing to Philip if all of a sudden he's in the desert by some water and he's baptizing him. And then when he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit takes Philip on a little trip. Boom, he's gone. And the eunuch didn't see him again. I can't explain it.
I'm a Star Trek fan. I like Star Trek, right?
This is it right here.
And here it is. You know, they stepped up onto the little transporter pad. You know, Scotty, you know, pushed the little sliders up and they disappeared.
Gone.
That's what happened here. Yeah. God invented transportation ministry.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And so, and we know Jesus did that. Jesus appeared and disappeared. And and I think at some point in our heavenly bodies and the new bodies that we're going to receive, that we may be able to do
stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true because we'll be able to move without the physical body. You'll be able to endure the speed of light, maybe.
Yeah.
Boom.
Awesome. It's just such a cool thing.
Truly cool. So, all of a sudden, it says, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Yeah.
I don't even know where Azotus is. I should probably look that up. But anyway, he just all of a sudden appears now, and he's traveling around preaching the gospel. You got to admit, he's got to be fired up.
Yeah. You know, definitely Philip had the spiritual gift of evangelism. Some people are just evangelists. They just love to share the good news of Jesus with other people. All of us can do it, and all of us have a way of doing it. I taught a class one time called Contagious Christian, How to Be a Contagious Christian.
That's a good class.
And it's recognizing that each one of us has the ability to share our testimony with somebody else, what God has done for me, what Jesus has done for me. And you don't have to be a fiery preacher or anything like that. You can do it over a cup of coffee and some cookies, or you can engage in debate. There's all sorts of different ways you can do it. And Philip here, the Holy Spirit, you know, led him to a moment where he was able to capitalize on this moment right here, where he heard this guy talking, reading a passage of Scripture, and he just jumped into the conversation, and he steered it back toward Jesus. And so in today's day and age, we definitely can do that because there's a lot of conversations that are happening, and there's opportunities for you to talk about the good news and the good things of God.
It is, and I like the idea of being contagious.
Yeah.
I often tell people when they first get saved in our church and they ask Jesus to forgive their sins and come into their life, I tell them, do you want to have more faith? And they says, yes, yes, that's what I want, more faith. And I always tell them the best way to get faith is to get around people of faith, because faith is something you catch.
Yeah.
And so I like your illustration about this ability to be contagious, because as a Christian, that's really what we're all about.
You know, some people are afraid to share their faith, to talk. You know, maybe they're afraid that they don't have enough theology or, you know, degrees or whatever. You don't have to.
Right.
Philip was just talking to the, he was talking about Isaiah 53, reading about that. And guess what? That talks about Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. He's alive. He's coming back. There's the story. There's the good news. Yeah. If you've got those points, you can talk to somebody about Jesus.
And if you are open to the Lord's voice to speak to you and to guide you and to tell you to go down to the road, not telling you why, tell you to do this, not telling you why. And if you're open to it, and all of a sudden you have an experience where you not only get to baptize somebody, but all of a sudden you get translated, that's going to change your witnessing power.
Yeah.
It's going to give you a real ability to power. It's like somebody who's been healed loves to talk about healing because they've experienced it.
Yep.
Here, Philip experienced the power of evangelism, how it changed the life of an individual, and all he was just simply being obedient to the Lord. And now all of a sudden, he's going all over preaching in towns and gospels everywhere until he finally gets home to Caesarea. And I imagine he had a great testimony in Caesarea.
I'm telling you. You know, I wrote in the margin of my Bible last time, obey, you know, because we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Here's Philip, you know.
Perfect obedience.
The angel
of
the Lord said, go, and he went. The angel of the Lord said, run alongside, and he did. He'd climb up in there, talk to him about that. And so it's those little steps of obedience that can lead to moments like this where there's just great rejoicing. There's rejoicing in your spirit. There's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing in the other person's life. When you're obedient, it has a ripple effect on the people around you.
You know, and I'm wondering, because I see Philip went to Caesarea and doesn't go any further than that, but I don't know if he grew up in Caesarea, but Caesarea was one of the major ports of Israel. So I'm wondering if Philip is thinking, okay, I'm a missionary. I'm heading out of here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to Caesarea and get on a boat. And Lord, you told me to go here by a road. Now put me on a boat.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
But he's got the missionary drive already because he's going to a port. But maybe he grew up in that town. I don't know. But it'd be interesting to know that he ends up in Caesarea. He's preaching the gospel, but he ends up in a port city, which goes all over the world.
And,
so
and everybody's coming in there. So it's probably a pretty cosmopolitan,
very international
town.
Very much so.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So very interesting. If you yourself are obedient, God will open the door for you. And like Pastor Tim says, you don't have to really be afraid. You just have to be natural.
Right.
Just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and be able to share what God has placed in your heart, an experience, anything that you have that can give glory to the name of Jesus.
You know, there's another passage of Scripture that kind of lends itself to evangelism, if you will, when Jesus met the woman at the well.
Perfect example.
Jesus is leaning against the well. She comes in the middle of the day. And he looks over at her and he says, can you get me a drink?
Simple. Start with a question. Can
you get me a drink? And she's looking at him like, you're not supposed to talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy to have you talk to me, you know, because there was some issues there with the Samaritans and the Jews. So there's times when you may be asked to run alongside and hear somebody else talking and get on. Or there may be a time where you can ask somebody a question and
open the door.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to kick the door open.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, if you look at this situation you mentioned, and the reason why you mentioned the fact that she came in the middle of the day is because most people didn't come for water, but in the mornings and in the evenings, they didn't come in the middle of the heat of the day, and she just didn't want to be around other women because she was embarrassed, and so she came in the middle of the day when she thought nobody would be there.
Right.
And so here we find things happening when you don't expect them to happen.
Exactly.
When you don't expect it. She never expected to run into Jesus. She never expected to have a conversation about living water. She never expected any of those things. And there it was. And like you say, it was a natural thing that Jesus turned her coming for water into a conversation about spiritual water, about spiritual life.
And like I said, I think some people are very nervous to start those conversations, to talk about Jesus to other people. But take a chance.
Yeah.
Step out in faith
and
ask the Lord to give you the words. And once again, you don't have to get bound up in theology. I remember going down, me and another gentleman from the church, we went to downtown Springfield. We had tracts in our backpack, and we were just going to go street witnessing. First person I met asked me a question out of the Bible that blew me away. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have the answer to that one. And it shocked me. And so I came back and I was like researching it. And I still don't technically know the answer to that question.
Was it how many angels on the head of a pin?
No, it was even worse than that. He said, okay, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, not being incestuous, right? He said, well, what about Adam and Eve? They had kids. Who did their kids marry?
Got him right there. He's
and I'm like,
got him.
Oh, yeah, you know? And yeah. But I'm like, okay, let me point you back to Jesus. We'll work on that stuff later. I'll go back and research that because that's a tough question.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're going to get asked those questions. And it's okay to say, I don't know the answer to that, but what I do know is what Jesus has done in my life. And let me talk to you about that.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to start. Keep it on Jesus.
Yeah.
So we find here a wonderful story about a man who was very obedient to the Holy Spirit, and he followed the directions that the Spirit gave him, and he ends up finding, I would say, his ministry, finding his gift, because he saw how his obedience led to someone else finding the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sees that in such a powerful way that he himself travels around now preaching the gospel and ends up in Caesarea, maybe heading out as a missionary.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's... But it is a development of his ministry that came from a simple yes, I will.
Amen. Amen. You know, and Paul talks about it. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So there's different functions for different people. And here we definitely see Philip fulfilling that role of an evangelist.
And there's many ministries within the Lord's work for you. It's not just in the preaching ministry or in the vocal ministries. There's the gifts of service. There's the gift of giving. There's all kinds of places that you can serve the Lord in. Mm. And that's what's so exciting about Bethany. We have so many people that are so actively involved in the ministry that it enables the gospel to not only get a good reputation, but to reach people.
Amen. You know, we give away food. So if you can pack a bag, somebody else will do the talking. But if you can pack again, you are part of that ministry.
That's
reaching
true.
Out to somebody.
Yeah, or if you could ride a motorcycle.
Amen.
A lot of people like, matter of fact, I see the Indians have had a comeback. We've got a few people driving Indians.
I saw a beautiful bike, an Indian motorcycle.
Brand
our
new.
Bethany bikers are out there, and it's a wonderful ministry to people that just love riding their bikes in this beautiful weather.
But unless you take a step and maybe get out there and risk something and take a chance and say, okay, this is something I'm passionate about. Let me see how it'll go. And this is what Philip does. He goes out, and before you know it, he's in a full-scale outreach preaching ministry going all over the world.
He's baptizing people.
He's doing everything. And so same thing can happen to you if you just follow
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Pastor Adams, Pastor Reed, we hope that your gifts will bring you closer to Jesus. God bless you. Have a great day.